You will be helped immensely if you have a Bible. So take a Bible. If you didn't bring one, there's one on the pew, in back of the pew that's in front of you. When you get done with it, put it back. And open your Bible to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 10. And here's what we're going to do. In Mark chapter 10, we're going to establish a truth that Jesus sets forth in this passage. Once we set forth this truth and understand it, then we're going to leave this passage and we're going to go to a passage in the Old Testament that makes application to this truth. And in other words, in Mark 10, we're going to learn this truth. Then we're going to go to the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you how this truth is lived out in everyday life. Okay? We're good. Mark chapter 10, verse 42. And Jesus called them, that is the 12, Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. Verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, brethren, there are basically two philosophies of life that every one of us live by. And those two philosophies in this passage are outlined by Jesus. There is in life those who are servants and those who are rulers. But let me put these two philosophies another way, and let me use language that you and I are more familiar with. The two philosophies of life are this. There are those who are givers, and there are those who are takers. Now listen carefully to me. Listen carefully to me. We're going to begin this morning by defining those two philosophies. I'm going to give you a definition of those two philosophies. And then all the way through the sermon, I want you to remember what we're talking about when we're talking about givers and what we're talking about when we're talking about takers. First of all, the philosophy of life of some is that they are givers. Now, when I say givers, what do I mean by that? Brethren, what we mean is a giver is somebody who is excited about life. A giver is somebody who's always looking around to be a help. A giver is somebody who is always wanting to be an encouragement. A giver is somebody who wakes up every morning and they pray to themselves, Lord, put me in the path today of somebody that I can bless, somebody that I can help. Lord, help me to meet somebody today, to talk to somebody today, that what I can do for them will show that you are in my life and that they may see you through me. That's what we mean about a giver. They're excited about all of this, and they understand that the sun doesn't rise and fall just on them. But the other philosophy is a taker. Now, what do we mean, and what are we definition we're going to use for a taker through this message? A taker is somebody who looks at every single circumstance, every single situation in their life, and the only question that they have about absolutely everything that happens is this: what's in it for me? What's in it for me? The takers is the individual who looks out at life, and when he looks out at life, he says to himself, listen, I have no responsibility at all in any of this. The taker is the one who gets up every morning and he looks out at the world and he believes with all of his heart that the world owes me. Look at these two philosophies. These two philosophies, these two lifestyles are extremely different. But each one of us has to decide which of those two philosophies we're going to live by. Every one of us. You must decide, am I going to live my life and am I going to be a giver or am I going to be a taker? So you have to ask, how am I going to live? How am I going to live here? Now in Mark chapter 10, Jesus sets forth the philosophy of the people in the world. Jesus says that out in the world, he uses verse 42, he uses the word Gentile. He's talking about the way and the philosophy of the world. He says, out in the world, it's all about who is in charge. He said, the philosophy of the world is that those that you do this, you go there, you get this, and you take care of that. Jesus then says, look carefully at verse 43. After he explains the philosophy of the world, Jesus then clearly says, but it will not be so among you. The philosophy of the world is not going to be the philosophy in the kingdom. The way of the world is not going to be the way of the kingdom. And how it's done out there is not going to be done the way it's done in here. In the kingdom, greatness is not about the taker. In the kingdom, greatness is about the giver. Then watch what he does, verse 45. He uses himself as the example of this. He says, I did not come to be a taker. He said, but I have come to be a giver. Listen to me. There are two basic philosophies. The giver and the taker. And every single one of us is living out one of those two philosophies in our daily lives. Now, if one is a giver, if one is a giver, then how will they live? How are they going to live? Now, I want everybody to leave Mark chapter 10, and I want you to go to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're leaving Mark 10, and I want you to go back into the Old Testament to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, originally, the phrase Ecclesiastes meant one who speaks in the public assembly. That's what Ecclesiastes originally meant. But then it changed. So the term Ecclesiastes means preacher, because the preacher is the one who speaks in the public assembly. So this book is coming from the preacher. Now, who is the preacher here? The preacher here in Ecclesiastes is the son of David, Solomon. Now, wait a minute, wait. Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man in all of the world. Solomon was endowed by God with wisdom, and people from all over the world would come to Solomon just to hear his wisdom. But more than that, as the preacher writes this, the wisest man in the world, Solomon, is also being directed by the Holy Spirit that what he's writing here is absolutely the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the preacher takes up the theme. Here's how to live. Here's how to live. Three thoughts we're going to pull. Solomon says, here's three ways that you live. Number one, in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we have to be a people who give generously. Now, listen, that does not mean what you think it does. So that'll put a lot of you just right at ease. That doesn't mean what you think it means. Because look, I know what you mean. I know what you're thinking. Man, the guy's on the first point, and he's already using the G word. That's not what I'm talking about. What you think that is not what that is. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, look at verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. Now, that verse has intrigued scholars forever. Because the verse is a paradox, or appears to be. Because it's saying, I'm going to cast, but then it says, but the thing that I'm casting is going to come back. It's a paradox. And scholars have been intrigued greatly by exactly what did Solomon have in his mind when he said, cast your bread upon the waters, for it will come back after many days. Here's what we know for sure. This verse, Solomon is illustrating something. This is an illustration. So when you cut through all of the thoughts that have been had through the centuries about this, there are two main ideas that come forth as to what Solomon is talking about. You can take either one of them you want to. First, there are those who believe that Solomon here is talking about the ancient rice farmer. And the farmer goes out into his fields, but the rice fields are flooded. But he goes out there because it's time to sow, it's time to plant. And so he puts his waders on and he stands and walks through it and he's casting the seed. He's casting the seed. But as he casts the seed, he's thinking to himself, am I going to get anything back out of this investment? This investment is costing me time. This investment is costing me energy and effort. And so he stands there, and as he's casting, he's thinking, am I going to get anything from this? Listen to me. Every farmer in the world sows by faith. Are you listening? Every farmer in the world casts by faith. Because the farmer understands, especially in the ancient world, where there's no irrigation and water whenever you want it, the farmer understood that if God doesn't give me the early rain to germinate that seed, and if God doesn't give me the sunshine, and then if God doesn't give me the latter rain, this seed will never reach maturity. So every farmer knows what I'm doing this by faith. Listen. Listen. Every farmer knows that whatever he cast, that's what he's going to get back. Do you hear what I said? You are not going to go out and cast beans and get corn. Amen? You are not going to go out and plant, cast tomatoes and get beans. Every farmer understands whatever I cast is what I will get back. And every farmer understands that what I cast, I'll get more back than I cast. Woo! You listening? You don't go out and plant four tomato plants and get four tomatoes. The second illustration that Solomon may have in his mind is this. Solomon may have been thinking about the ancient Jewish merchant. And the merchant puts all of his goods on this ship. And as that merchant stands at the dock, and as that ship pulls out of the dock and heads out, the merchant is standing there thinking, all of my goods are on that ship. What's going to happen if pirates raid that ship, which was a common thing in the day? Or what's going to happen if that ship gets out there with all my goods on it? And what's going to happen if a storm destroys that ship? So the farmer understands that as he stands there and watches that ship head out there on the water, he understands there is a risk involved, but he's willing to take the risk. Look, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the water, for you will find it after many days. Now here it is. Most of us do not understand what giving does for the giver. Now, we all understand what it does for the recipient. Amen? But we don't understand what it does to the giver. Jesus said, be givers and not takers. Listen to me. Jesus said, listen, help and don't hinder. Jesus said, encourage and don't discourage. Jesus says, don't knock them down and don't stand on their throat when they're down, but pick them up. And even a bigger problem, this is even a bigger problem, is that many Christians do not understand this philosophy, but what's worse is that many don't believe it. Look at verse 1, and we're going to break it in two parts. Look at verse 1. Cast your bread upon the water. Do you see that? Watch. Cast. There's a difference in casting and in having to have it pried out of your hand. Listen, casting is voluntary. I'm voluntary. Write this in the margin of your Bible. Look at the second part of verse 1. For you will find it. What's it? Whatever you cast. You will find it after many days. Now, what does that mean? Write this down in the margin of your Bible. What that latter phrase means is that nothing good is ever lost. That's what it means. Nothing good is ever lost. Now I'm gonna prove it to you. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, Moses is addressing the children of Israel. And in Deuteronomy 15, the subject is the poor. What are we going to do with the poor? Listen, watch what Moses said. I'm going to show you right here. Moses said, you shall give to him, the poor. You shall give to him freely. And your heart shall not be grudging when you give him. So what does that mean? I'm going to give freely and I'm going to do it with a right heart. a cheerful heart. Because, well, this is why I'm doing it that way. Because for this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. What is that? Listen, nothing good is ever lost. Do you know what that verse means? That verse means that I go over here and I help somebody. Maybe it's money, maybe it isn't. Listen, if you think this is about money, you're not listening. So I go over here and I bless some brother. But he doesn't have anything. He can't bless me. Bless God, he can't bless himself. That's why I'm helping him. So I help him. Well, then after many days, it's going to come back. But listen to me. The blessing I receive from helping this person may not and will not come back from this person, but I help him, and the blessing I get back may come from over here. He can't give me nothing. Bless God, I'm feeding him. But it will come back. Nothing good is ever lost. I may help somebody over here, and I'm thinking, well, what's going to happen? And the blessing may come back from here. And the blessing may not come from him. The blessing may come from the Lord your God. Now listen to me, because this is what you're thinking. Listen to me. You say, well, cast your bread. Listen, preacher. I don't have any money to cast. If you don't have any money to cast, then you can't cast any money, can you? Look at me and listen to me. Can you cast a smile? Can you cast encouragement? Can you cast a proper and a right attitude? Yes. This is not about money. This is not just about money. This is about a philosophy of how we live our lives every day. And it's a philosophy where we have to understand that if I cast smiles, I'm going to get smiles back. And the person I'm smiling at may cuss me, but bless God, I'll get a blessing over here. Because I've been cussed before. And so have you. Amen? How should we live? Listen, you are either a giver or a taker. That's it. If you live the way you ought to live, here's how you live. You live, be a people who give generously. Number two. Now, there's three of these, and the last two are real short, okay? Number two. In verses 4-6, if we're going to be givers, we gotta be a people who live industriously. Now, I use that word because you don't want the other word, but I'm going to give it to you. We have to be a people who live industrious. We have to be a people who work hard. Oh, he used the G word and the W word in the same sermon. You got to work hard. Amen. You got to work hard. Now look at Ecclesiastes 11, look at verse 4, He who waits for perfect conditions will never get anything done. That's a Living Bible translation. He who waits for perfect conditions will never do anything. Now brethren, look, there is a difference between seeing what needs to be done and doing it, and seeing what needs to be done and waiting. And by waiting, I mean waiting for somebody else to do it. In Luke chapter 10, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. A man was traveling from the Jerusalem to Jericho road. He fell among thieves and they robbed him. That often happened between the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a very winding road and a very narrow road, and people were always told, don't get on that road by yourself. But this guy did. And he was beaten. He was robbed. And Jesus said he was half dead. But this was his lucky day, because two religious people walked by him. So a priest came by. The priest saw him. The priest saw what needed to be done. And he simply stepped over him, went across, and kept going. But that's okay, because another religious guy came. A Levi came. A Levi saw him. He saw what needed to be done. But he crossed by on the other side. But then a Samaritan came. And the Samaritan saw him. And the Samaritan saw what needed to be done. And the Samaritan put that man on his beast. And he took him to the inn. And he told the innkeeper, you take care of him. And he says, if there's anything left that's owed, when I come back, I will pay you. So here is a priest, here is a Levite, and here is a Samaritan. Listen to me. What was the difference? What was the difference? The difference is that the Samaritan was not a taker. The Samaritan was a giver. And I'm going to tell you this, and you can believe this or not believe this, but if you don't believe this and you live this, you will believe this. A taker can only lose. That's all they can do. Three guys planned for months to rob a bank. And they planned it to the very last detail. This is exactly what we're going to do. This is exactly how we're going to do it. And this is exactly where we're going to stay until the heat dies down. So the three of them went into the bank and they robbed the bank. And the robbery came off spotless. They got a truckload of money. They got out of there, and they got to the place where the house where they were going to stay until the heat. This was the perfect robbery, except they've got one thing. They didn't bring any food into the place where they were going to stay. So they got together, and they said, listen, this is not a problem. The police are looking for three men. Three. So one of us will go out and get food. They're not looking for one guy, they're looking for three. So one of them goes out, he's going up and down the aisles in the store, he's getting food, and he begins to think to himself, man, we got a lot of money, but I'm only going to get a third of it. You know, if I could do something to those other two, 100% is better than a third. So he goes up in one of them aisles in the store, and he buys some poison. He said, I'm going to poison their food. And they're going to eat this food. And they're going to die. And I'm going to have it all. So while he's having this conversation with himself in the store, the other two guys are in the hideout having their own conversation. Don't get ahead of me, because it ain't funny if you get ahead of me. And they say, boy, we got a truckload of money here. We got this. But you know, 50% is better than a third. So when he comes in here with the food, if we kill him, we just split it two ways instead of three. So that was the plan. So the guy walks in with the food and the other two guys kill him. And then the other two guys celebrated what they did by eating the food. And nobody got anything. That is always the plot of the taker. Nobody gets anything. Listen, take what you got, take what God gives you. Live on some of it. Save some of it for a rainy day, because it's going to rain. And give the rest of it away. Live on some of it. Save some of it and give the rest away. And if you will do that, if you will do that, you will have more than if you get a bucket, put everything in the bucket, seal the bucket, and sit on the bucket, because God's got 1,000 ways to put holes in that bucket. You're welcome. Number three, if you're going to be a giver and not a taker, live your life giving generously. Well, I don't have such and so. Well, then you, what's the problem? You can't give that. But give generously what you have. If you're going to be a giver and not a taker, you got to live industrious. Work. Work. Where they owe, nobody owes you nothing. Work. Number three. In verses 7 through 10, we are to be a people of joy. Now I want to show you something and you've never seen it. Now remember, look at verse 7, Ecclesiastes 11. I know it's time to go and we're going to go in a minute. Look at the verse. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 7. Now listen to me, listen. This is Hebrew poetry. So we got to break through the poetry. You say, well, it don't rhyme. Hebrew poetry don't rhyme. I ain't got time for you. Listen. Look at verse 7. Life is sweet. It is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Now look at it. Light is sweet. And it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about those of us who are alive on earth. Because we are the only ones who can see the light of the sun. So in verse 7, listen, in verse 7, Solomon is talking to you and he's talking to me. So what does he say? Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. Listen to me. If you are alive on this earth, that's verse 7. If you live many years, what God intends for you to do is to enjoy them. Listen to me. Verse 7, he's talking to you and me. And in verse 8, this is a statement about perpetual joy. You say, but how can I live with this perpetual joy? Listen, he's just explained to you how you do it. live your life giving generously, and live your life industriously. And if you do that, if you live many years, God bless you, and that's how you enjoy life. And now we all know why so many folk are miserable. Amen? Listen, life isn't to be endured, life is to be enjoyed. But you can't do that if you're selfish. Well, why nobody treat me right? Well, how are you treating everybody? You just told on you. There is a statement that Jesus made that isn't attributed to him in the gospel. But Paul says Jesus said it in Acts 20. When Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And again, if you think any of this has been about money, you're not listening. This is talking about a philosophy and a lifestyle. That whatever I have, money or no money, forget money. Whatever I have, I'm going to share with other people. I can smile at anybody. I can encourage anybody. I can do these things. Work industrious. Man, find something to do and get with it. And if you see something that needs to be done, then do it. Just pick it up and do it. You say, well, what if I'm not supposed to do it? Then one of us will tell you to stop doing it. But until we tell you to stop doing it, bless your heart, move on. Amen. I guess I'm done. I know y'all glad. Sitting there with evil thoughts in your heart about me because I'm still standing here. Don't be cast in that now. This how I'll be happy. What I got, I'm going to share. What I got, I'm going to share. If I need something that needs to be done, I'm going to do it. And then guess what? I'm going to have perpetual joy. The problem with selfishness is that you're only thinking about you. And anybody who's just thinking about them is miserable. A man wrapped up in himself is a small package. It just keeps coming to me, you know that? I meant to quit 5 minutes ago. I can't shut this thing down. Be a giver and not a taker. Be a giver and not a taker, and you'll thank me and God and everybody else in here. If you need to come, God help you to do that right now as together we stand and as we sing.